Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 56 to finish at 20,663. S&P 500 Index up 8 to close at 2,365. NASDAQ Composite up 43 at 6,055. Russell 2000 Index up 5 at 1,361. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 2 basis points at 2.23%. Oil down a penny at $49.34 a barrel. Gold down $14.10 at $12.47.80 an ounce. Yesterday, the stock market had a little panic attack. As is often the case, these things pass. This is why it is important to see confirmation of a major move, and today we did not see confirmation. Equities did not take kindly to news of Trump influencing or impeding an FBI investigation. The S&P 500 closed at lows, down 1.8%, and the NASDAQ wiped out 18 days of gains in one session. So yesterday was not insignificant, but looking back over the last half year, it is not enough in and of itself to change the trend, which is still up. The news of the week is important, and it was a catalyst for the big sell-off yesterday. But while the term impeachment may appear more frequently in the press today, the process is initiated by a vote in the House, where Republicans hold a 45-seat majority. A House impeachment of President Trump would look unlikely. But that doesn't mean Trump's problems have been resolved, just slow-tracked. Late yesterday, a special prosecutor was named, former FBI Director Robert Mueller, and whatever the outcome of his investigation, nothing will happen immediately. Meanwhile, Representative Jason Chaffetz said today he will resign from Congress next month, a move that calls into question the future of the House Oversight Committee's investigation of Trump and his campaign ties with Russia. Washington can make a slug look like a speed demon. Nothing is imminent, and so the markets rebooted. Traders bought the dips. That said, this is proving a distraction from the president's agenda, including what should be a more detailed budget released next week. After months of major stock markets posting record highs and historically low volatility across a range of asset classes, something was bound to snap, and nobody knows whether it was a one-off or an omen. We'll get clues in the days and weeks ahead, but a day like yesterday should jolt us from our lethargy and remind us that volatility has not died. The VIX index was jolted from its slumber yesterday and chalked up its seventh biggest rise in percentage terms since its launch in 1990. So this is an appropriate time to look at risk levels and reassess where we are as investors. The dollar, 2 to 10-year Treasury yield curve, and yields on 10-year Treasury inflation-protected securities TIPS are all back where they were before Trump was elected in November. The spread between 2- and 10-year Treasury yields is its smallest since the presidential election. This so-called yield curve flattening suggests investors are losing faith in the economy's ability to withstand higher interest rates. Money markets have slashed the probability of the Federal Reserve raising rates next month to less than 60% from over 90% last week. The U.S. economy is already into its third longest expansion ever, and a recent fall in the U.S. Economic Surprises Index suggests it's running out of steam. That doesn't mean a recession is in the offing, but it might point to slightly slower growth. Anytime we see a shift, the fast money will look for fresh opportunities. The gap between the U.S. and European surprises indexes is the widest in 2 years. U.S. corporate earnings growth is double-digit, but still lagging the Eurozone. And the political turmoil that was supposed to beset Europe this year is concentrated in the U.S. Yesterday was not enough in itself to push investors to cash or run scared, but today many investors reconsidered their tactical positions, and many are rethinking their appetite for risk. Earlier in the day, the Philadelphia Federal Reserve said business activity index rose in May after declining for 2 months. Weekly unemployment data also pointed to strength in the labor market. Brazilian markets took a big hit today. The benchmark Bovespa dropped about 9%. One of the country's largest newspapers reported that a secret recording exists of President Michel Temer approving a payment to Eduardo Cunha, the former House Speaker and considered a mastermind behind last year's impeachment of former President Dilma Rousseff. The tape was submitted to the Supreme Court by two senior executives from meatpacking giant JBS as part of a plea bargain deal, according to O Globo newspaper, in which information is offered in exchange for reduced sentences. Though the president's office confirmed the meeting between Temer and a JBS executive took place in March, it denied Temer asked for payments to silence Cunha. Temer is far from the only politician to be tied to the corruption scandal dubbed Operation Car Wash, which has implicated nearly all of Brazil's political class, including every single member of the ruling party. Earnings reports from major brick and mortar retailers have been a long list of disappointments, with the occasional exception of Home Depot or Target, and today, Walmart reported. Walmart said sales at U.S. stores open at least a year rose 1.4%. That was better than estimates. Investments to bring more customers into the discount retailer paid off, and a bigger push into e-commerce boosted online purchases. Online sales rose 63% in the first quarter, which was higher than the 29% growth in the fourth quarter and 20% in the third quarter. Walmart said it is benefiting from a $2.7 billion investment to increase entry-level wages and enhance the training of its workforce, which has led to better stocked shelves and cleaner stores. Walmart earned a dollar per share, topping estimates of 96 cents. Consolidated net income fell to $3.04 billion from $3.08 billion due to a higher tax rate. Revenue rose 1.4% to $117 billion, slightly lower than analyst estimates. They say it was due to a stronger dollar, which reduces the value of overseas sales. Revenue grew 2.8% on a currency-neutral basis. Walmart shares today flirted with 52-week highs. Alibaba Group beat first-quarter revenue forecasts but fell short of earnings estimates. The Chinese company, which is targeting new business lines such as cloud computing, big data, entertainment, and offline retail as it expands beyond e-commerce, also announcing a $6 billion share buyback over the next 2 years. Salesforce.com reported better-than-expected earnings and raised its full-year revenue guidance. The cloud software company reported a net loss of $9.2 million on revenue of $2.39 billion for its fiscal first quarter. After adjustments for stock-based compensation and other effects, the company claimed a profit of 28 cents per share, which topped estimates. Facebook celebrates its fifth anniversary as a publicly traded company. The IPO was 5 years ago today, and it was a mess. But since then, the stock is up 279%. The telecommunications services sector was the S&P's biggest percentage gainer today with a 1.2% rise. The Federal Communications Commission has officially begun undoing net neutrality rules the agency passed just 2 years ago. The FCC voted 2-1 along political party lines to begin a rule-making process to replace the Open Internet Order, or net neutrality rules, adopted in 2015. The rules won't disappear overnight, but FCC Chair Ajit Pai has made it clear that Barring a successful legal challenge, the agency will give up its authority to actually enforce net neutrality regulations. The rules, first passed in 2015, ban internet service providers from blocking, slowing down, or otherwise discriminating against lawful content. Without these rules in place, your home internet provider would be free to slow down your Netflix connection to try to keep you paying for cable TV. Your mobile carrier would be allowed to block Skype in order to promote its own voice plan. Naturally, the country's largest broadband providers say you have nothing to worry about. In fact, the industry now claims to love net neutrality. But what the industry is calling net neutrality doesn't really fit the full definition. It's a version of net neutrality that doesn't cover the loopholes internet providers have already discovered. If the FCC decides to drop its own protections, you probably won't wake up one day to find YouTube or Slack blocked. But the principles that made the internet what it is today could still erode over time. We're already seeing a toll road version of internet service. AT&T, for example, allows users to watch as much video as they want from its own DirecTV live streaming service without having it count toward their data caps. Competing services like Dish's Sling, on the other hand, will count against those caps unless the companies behind them pay AT&T to sponsor that data. Verizon has a similar system in place. These data exemptions, known as zero rating, may sound innocent enough. Everyone loves getting free stuff, but critics argue they will end up harming competition. Although the telecom industry group U.S. Telecom sued the FCC to try to reverse its net neutrality protections, most big internet providers say they support net neutrality in principle. Their beef, they say, is just that the FCC went too far in reclassifying broadband access as Title II common carrier service, much like telephone services. The telecoms say they don't mind a little regulation as long as there are some great big loopholes. The problem is that without Title II, the FCC won't be able to enforce net neutrality. And that means that the big, beautiful, collaborative mosaic of the internet could soon be missing many of the smaller tiles that add so much color to the overall picture. Dow Jones Industrial Average today up 56 at 20,663, S&P 500 up 8 at 2365, NASDAQ up 43 at 6,055. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and the daily blog, eatthebankers.com, text, audio, and more at eatthebankers.com.